spent a lot of time, we were discussing the Tzimun Pei Zayin, the basic premise of all of Bas B'chol Deraisa is that it's only also when it's Derech Bishul. We spent a lot of time trying to figure out what is Derech Bishul, what's not Derech Bishul, but we were quick to find out that that's all on the level of Deraisa. On the level of Derabbanan, and then Bas B'chol is obviously also even Shaloba Derech Bishul, that's clear as day. We say from the Rav that he used to say that's the difference of nuance between what's called Bas B'cholov and Bas V'cholov. Sometimes if you look on the top of the page, so some of the Sfarim call it Hukos Bas B'cholov and some call it Hukos Bas V'cholov. So he thought that the difference is that Hukos Bas B'cholov at the base means the Bas is mamish licked in the cholov. That means it's mamish is bashel B'cholov B'chelov imay. Bas V'cholov means above means that I'm eating the Bas together with the cholov. It's not bit. It's not one's not inside the other. Just the fact that I'm eating them together, that's considered to be also mid the Rabbanah. So depending on whether you want to call your halachas, the derises of the Rabbanah, it's going to make a difference whether you put the beis or the vav. That's an interesting idea. Reminds me that the Baal Itter has a famous kashib after Bracha of Birchas Erisin. It says, Makadosh Am Yisrael Ayideh Chupa V'Kiddushin. So there's all the Rabbanah with the kashib. Why does it say Chupa V'Kiddushin? It should be Kiddushin V'Chupa. Kiddushin usually comes before the Chupa. So what's Chupa V'Kiddushin? So the Baal Itter is quoted by the Rishonim in the Ran as saying that the real text of the bracha is chuppah v'kiddushin with a vase. That means the chuppah is in the kiddushin. That means you had the kiddushin first and then you had the chuppah following. So it's really with a vase. And there's no dagesh in the vase because it's following a hay. So it's chuppah v'kiddushin. So the people didn't understand the diktuk, so they thought it was that they heard people pronouncing chuppah v'kiddushin with a vase. They thought it was a vav. So they changed it. The people who wrote the Siddurim, they wrote it as a vav. So the whole thing is a mistake. So it's really chuppah v'kiddushin with a lashon of vase. Sometimes you have to be medayek whether something is a vase or a vav. So that was the Rav's shtickle to her. So anyway, getting back to that story. So Derech Bishul is also in the Torah, and Shaloba Derech Bishul is also in the Rabbanan. So the Gemara now is a tremendous chiddush, which becomes now the basis of Simin Peites, as to not only is Shaloba Derech Bishul also in the Rabbanan, and that means if I take a piece of meat and I throw a cold slice of cheese on top of it and eat it together, that's also in the Rabbanan, and that for sure is also in the Rabbanan. The Gemara is a chiddush that ochel basal and ochel gvina. That if I ate meat, I stopped eating meat already, I'm done eating meat, and now I want to eat cheese a little bit later, so that's also asim the Rabbanan. Why is that asim the Rabbanan? So it's not that there was a newis of the Rabbanan not to eat meat and to wait to eat milchiks. No, it's part of the same as the Rabbanan. The use of the Rabbanan was that any time you're eating basal and cholof together, even if it's shalobah derech bishul, that's the use of the Rabbanan. It's a gezeirah of the derech bishul. So what's called eating together? So Chazal extended what called eating together is. I thought eating together meant I'm taking a bite out of my roast beef and I'm taking my cup of milk and I'm having it at the same time. I thought that's called eating together. The Gemara says, no, that is called eating together. But there's another extension of eating together. Achol basal yachol gvina. Why is that called together? So that's machlekes in Rishonim. What is the togetherness of having to wait for fleshies to milchiks? Why is that called eating it bechlal together? I'm eating basal, I'm eating challah. What's the problem? So that's where Rashi and Rambam each give the different versions as to what exactly Chazal were concerned with. So Rashi says that he thinks the problem is like this, because when you eat balsa, balsa has a very strong taste to it. So now you can have your cheese a little bit later, so when you're eating the cheese, you still have a little bit of the tam of the balsa in your mouth. So again, it's an extension of this idea. It's a derabonon on a derabonon. It means it's part of the gzeira derabonon of eating balsa b'cholof together, because even if you're not eating mamish balsa, you're eating the tam of balsa, it's a little tam kikr, quote unquote. You have the tam of the, I mean, that's a joke. The tam of the meat is still in your mouth, so that's considered to be an extension of achilas balsa b'cholof b'yachem. And the Rambam has a different shot. The Rambam says, no, if it would just be the tam of the balsa, mishkin balsa. The Rambam says there's real balsa in your mouth. Just because you finish eating your meat, don't think your mouth is clean of balsa. There's balsa in your mouth for a long time. How do you know? The balsa stays in your mouth for a long time, stays between your teeth. So the Rambam says, since the odds are there's probably going to be some balsa in your teeth, if you're going to go and have your cup of milk with that balsa in your teeth, so that's tantamount to eating basa v'cholof together. So according to Rashi, it's based on the tam in your pan. According to the Rambam, it's based on the basa shebein ha-shinayim. But neither of the Rishonim say explicitly, or probably nobody really says explicitly, is the idea that they tell us when they're little kids. When the little kids, they tell us that you have to wait for fleshies and milchus because you have to wait for the food to be digested. The Rishonim don't say that. Some of the Achronim have such an idea like that. But the Rishonim don't really say that the Feirish. Rashi and the Rambam give a much more focused on the mouth, either the mouth of the tam of the basa or the basa shebein ha-shinayim. It's many enough kavina. At the end of the day, you have to wait to something, whatever. We're not sure how long you have to wait. But at the end of the day, everybody agrees there's a din called achol basa l'yachol gvina. There's many enough kavina between the reasons. So the Rishonim start to give, the Torah starts to give a list off different nafkaminas l'dina between the reasons. One of the nafkaminas is If you go with the Rambam's understanding that the goal of waiting, again, I have no idea how long you have to wait yet. I didn't put any times in the clock yet. I don't know what it means, but whatever amount you're waiting, the goal, according to the Rambam, is to avoid the problem of Bosa Shebeina Shinayim. So that's a very, very tricky statement. What do you mean avoid the problem? And what if it's 10 hours later? What if it's a week later and there's still, sometimes you can get a good piece of meat stuck there and it can be stuck there for days. So obviously, according to the Rambam, whatever time, whatever Shia Chazal are giving you is enough to solve the problem of Bosa Shebeina Shinayim. But it's not true. The reality is there's meat there afterwards. You have to come up with a big chiddush, according to the Rambam, that any meat that's there somehow after that point is doesn't really account, doesn't really make a difference. It's command to lay a dummy. That meat doesn't exist anymore. It's a bottle for being meat. According to Rashi, you have to say such a thing. According to Rashi, you have to come up with such a thing. According to Rashi, Rashi is talking about a normal person eating a normal steak, and all the meat goes down, and Rashi says there's still a problem of tala basa. So we can understand after a few hours, when a person ate, I woke up, let's say I woke up at 5:15 and had a bowl of raisin, I don't taste it in my mouth anymore, so hours have passed. So according to Rashi, I understand a certain amount of time passes, and time is over. But what would it then be, Lu Yitzuya, that 10 hours later you would find a piece of meat still stuck in your teeth? So would Rashi say, no problem, you can have your ice cream with that piece of meat sitting there? Why would Rashi ever say such a thing? Why would we ever dream Rashi would say such a thing? Rashi is not forced to say such a thing. The Rambam, whose the whole reason is based on the Bosha Shebeina Shinayim, has to have a corollary kula. The kula has to be that after X amount of hours, and again, I'm very careful, I don't want to say X's yet, but after X amount of hours, it's got to be ois bosa, lose its status of bosa, and then you don't have to do anything. You can eat your ice cream, chew it on the piece of meat. It's mama stuck on your teeth, and it's coming out, and you're eating it together with your ice cream. It's mutter according to the Rambam, but according to Rashi, so that would be a, l'chor would be a problem. So here we find that Rashi turns out to be a little bit more machmir than the Rambam. Then the Torah and later post can point out, maybe we can hop around another nafkamina, where Rashi may end up to be a little bit more makel than the Rambam. Let's say a person puts some meat into his mouth, but he doesn't really eat the meat in the full sense of the word. He moves it around a little bit, tasting it a little bit, chewing it up maybe a little bit just to make it soft for the kids. Then he takes it out of his mouth. So did he become what we call fleishiks? He didn't really eat the meat. So maybe one could argue that Rashi would be makel. Maybe one could argue that Rashi would say there's no tam bosa until you mamish have it really in your mouth. Because according to the Rambam, once that meat comes anywhere near your tooth, that's already the problem, according to the Rambam. Once you're chewing up meat in your mouth, I don't care how little, how small, how short amount of time, bosa shebeina shinayim, and you have a problem. So one could potentially make nafkaminas in this machlokes. It could become important to see what the reason for this gezeirah, this extension of the din d'rabbanan is. Bein lefi Rashi, bein lefi Rambam. At the end of the day, we're machmir and everything. At the end of the day, we don't know what the right answer is. So we're machmir l'halacha, the Shulchan Aruch paskens, everything's awesome. You become fleishiks, even if you just merely chewed up the food a little bit, even though you didn't have real time, and if you happen to have eaten meat hours ago, days ago, weeks ago, and you find a piece of meat in your mouth, you have to take that piece of meat out. You can't just, I didn't say you have to start to wait again, that's a different story, but you have to take that piece of meat out. You can't just hide behind the Rambam and say, it's Rambam, it's a brisketer in the Rambam, it's nishkin bosser, it's not a chefts of bosser, we have to X amount of hours. So we're not convinced that that's true. We're chayshish for Rashi as well. So at the end of the day, we're not really sure what the real reason for this gzeirah d'rabbanan is. It's a combination, one of these two reasons, or the halacha really combine both of the chumras. So in Maisa, we have to focus on not so much why you have to wait, but what does it mean exactly? The Gemara says, "Achol basa lo yachol gvina." At what point? I ate flesh 6 years ago. I can't eat gvina now. So at what point do we say that that iser achol basa lo yachol gvina falls by the wayside? So we seem to have two very, very different sugyas in both in Kalabasa, within two lines of one another, which seem to give us two very, very different ideas as to what exactly has to transpire to permit you to now eat gvina in light of the fact you ate basa. It's almost like those we were in Mashiach before, with two Gemaras, three Vladimir from one another, and they're saying, Lagamri, different things, but this is much easier at this point. So comes the Gemara in one place, and starts to talk about doing some kind of a physical action to remove the basa. What's that physical action? So the Gemara starts throwing around different terms, what we call kinuach v'hadocha. We're not exactly sure what kinuach and hadocha are. Does it mean washing out your mouth with a liquid? Does it mean washing out your mouth with a salad? Does it mean doing both? Does it mean doing either? So there's a lot of confusion what exactly all these terms are. But one thing we know for a fact is that it's some kind of a physical action to solve the basa problem, which would begin to make some sense. Bein lefi Rashi, bein lefi Rambam. We can understand why that should play some kind of a factor, because after all, according to Rashi, the goal is to get the tam out So maybe if I do something to get the time out, maybe that'll do the trick. If the goal is, according to the Rambam, maybe to make sure the meat gets out, so maybe I don't have to wait that long. Maybe I can get the meat out earlier. Maybe I can be safe and say there's no bosesh ben shinayim. So it's not so far-fetched, these ideas of kinuch and dach. Again, we don't know yet what the details are, but the idea of requiring some kind of an action to clean out the mouth, clean out the teeth, would seem to make logical sense to us. But yet, the Gemara then has a whole other discussion about a totally different solution to this, seemingly the same problem. The Gemara starts putting things into the context of time. You have to wait X amount of time. How much time do you have to wait? Very, very unclear. So the Gemara starts talking about different Amoraim with different practices of how long to wait. So one of the Amoraim had a practice of waiting 24 hours. Mamash Mameis Liyeis. He ate Fleishiks today. We need Milchiks till tomorrow. Unbelievable. So the Gemara says, that's already, you know, above and beyond the call of duty. So you don't have to do that, the Gemara quotes, but you have to do a little something. What do you have to do? You have to wait. Misuda l'suda. Now, we have no idea what that means. We don't know how much time that is. We don't know on the clock what that is. But that doesn't sound like kinuch v'adacha. Conceptually, it doesn't sound at all like kinuch v'adacha. It sounds like a very, very different type of solution to seemingly the same problems. So we have a problem. We have an issue called ocha basa l'ocha gvina. We're not quite sure what the problem is. Rashi and the Rambam. We're not quite sure what the solution is, because Chazal seems to be giving us two different approaches to the solution. So there's a major machlokes in the Rishonim, how to understand this seeming contradiction between the two Gemaras. What is the solution? Is the solution through the root of an action? Is the solution through the root of some kind of a time? Which again, there are probably more questions on the board than answers. So one group of Rishonim, led basically by Rabbi Natan, by the Balei Tosfos, hold that it's not a contradiction, that they're both true. There are two different ways to solve the same problem. You can either solve the problem by physically, taking the initiative and getting either the palm out or getting the bosser out, or you can sit back and wait around for a few hours, whatever the few hours is, and eventually have nature, in a sense, do the job by itself. So the bosser will be gone, and the shame bosser will be gone, the palm will be gone, everything will be gone, even without you doing anything. So either one is a valid option. So it's not a contradiction. Two different amounts, two different solutions. One, the Tanaim we're talking about, one the Amoraim we're talking about, either one is just as valid. That's one possibility. However, come other Rishonim, led by the Rambam, and say no, that these are not two different options. These two options are not solving the same problem. Because you thought there was only one problem on the board. You thought that the whole issa that today Shia is Ochel Bosel Yechel Gvina, says the Rambam, that's not true. There's a second issur as well called Achol Gvina Lo Yachol Basar. Now, you have to look very hard to find that in the Gemara. Some Rishonim said we looked so hard we couldn't find it, doesn't exist. But the Rambam saw it in the Gemara. The Rambam thought that there is a secondary issur of Achol Gvina Lo Yachol Basar. Says the Rambam, it's a less of a problem, and because again, it doesn't have that chumrah, so to speak, of a Basar, then it mentioned to him, but it may be a less of a degree of a problem. So that's what the Rambam split, and the Rambam said, that's why we have different solutions in the Gemara. There are not multiple solutions to the same problem, like Tosfos said. There are multiple solutions to multiple problems, different solutions to different problems. If all you want to do is go from Gvina to Basar, so it's really, really easy, says the Rambam. Get some good kinuch ha'adach, whatever that means, and clean your mouth out, and then show you can enjoy your fleshes. But if you're going from Basar to Gvina, then you can't jump the gun on this one. You have to wait for nature to take its course. You have to wait for the din Basar to be no longer chal. And then you have to wait X amount of time, whatever that X is, 24 hours or less than that, whatever the magic number is. So we're learning the sugya of Ochel Basar v'Ochel Gvina right now. We're not learning the Gvina to Basar. We're going to have to wait till maybe on Tuesday. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But right now we're learning the Ochel Basar v'Ochel Gvina. So now we have a machlokes, the Balei Tosfos against the Rambam. What possible solutions are available to us in the Ochel Basar v'Ochel Gvina sugya? So according to the Rambam, there's only one solution, and that's time. Don't hack me a chanuk with kinuch v'adach. I'm not interested, says the Rambam. The only thing that's going to solve the problem is time, whatever X time is. And Tosfos says, no. Okay, we're getting time. It's all right. You want to go the route of time, that's fine. But you want to go the route of kinuch v'adacha, that's also okay. So we now have to keep in the back of our mind, this machlokes studies in the Rambam, and we have to define a little bit more some of these terms. I mean, it's so vague and thrown around. We never define kinuch v'adacha properly. We never define what this magic phantom time number is. The only thing we've worked out so far is the Rambam tells us two different approaches to the entire sugya. So let's spend a little bit of time just trying to figure out what these terms mean. So kinuach mi'adacha, we're going to assume that kinuach means a cleaning out your mouth with some kind of a solid food. And adacha, or hadiach, is more of a washing with a beverage or a liquid or something as well. When we speak about kinuach v'hadacha, do we mean kinuach v'hadacha? Do we mean kinuach o hadacha? So that's a question in the Gemara. So we show him what exactly the maskana of Gemara is, whether you require both. So we're going to work for now with the chumr, most chumritic version, that if and when kinuach v'hadacha is going to work, we're going to want both. So we're going to insist that do a really, really good job of cleaning, you're going to have to take a good cookie or something, you're going to have to have a good cup of orange juice, you have to do a good kinuach v'hadacha. I didn't give, you know, some other examples of other beverages that some people like to use for kinuach v'hadacha at other times in their life, so we don't want to talk about those things. But whatever it is, you took something, and I get a good job of physically, solidly cleaning out your mouth, and a good job of liquid cleaning out your mouth, and showing. So we're going to assume for now that's the kinuach v'hadacha. More important question for us, so to speak, at least according to the Rambam, is when you're learning basa, when you're learning the sugya basa, layochot vina, so kinuach v'hadacha is lamala v'mayrid, you need to wait X amount of time, what is the X? So we know that the X is not 24 hours, and we know it has something to do with mesu'udu l'su'uda. What in the world does that term mesu'udu l'su'uda mean? So here we have another major machlekes in Rishonim within the term mesu'udu l'su'uda. And again, according to the Rambam, mesu'udu l'su'uda is critical for today's sugya. It's the only option for today's sugya. According to Ben Etam, the Balei HaTosfos, it's an option. So we want to know what it means. Bein lefi Tos, bein lefi Rambam. What is this magic term mesu'udu l'su'uda? So there's a major machlekes in Rishonim. What do the words mean? So Tosfos on the spot writes that mesu'udu l'su'uda means as long as you're not eating the basar and the gvin at the same suda, so you're okay. You've created a break of mesu'udu l'su'uda. How long exactly does it have to be, says Tosfos? There is no amount on the clock. There's only one thing, only one vehicle that we know from other areas of halacha that declares that a suda is over. What is that? You benched. Berachas HaMazon is the end of the suda. You choose to eat another suda in 20 minutes from now, that's another suda. You have to wash, you have to bench, you have to do bracha. So it's a different suda. 20 minutes have passed, so what, says Tosfos? That's called misuda l'suda. It says Tosfos, you have to read this Tosfos like 20 times, make sure we read it right. Tosfos just said that you have to wait when you finish eating meat. The Gemara never says anything about waiting. The Gemara just says, achol basar v'achol gvina, which means misuda l'suda, as at least one of the options, or according to Rambam, the only option, you have to go misuda l'suda. You benched. Sure. You finished benching, and you want to have milchiks now. Because the day, says Tosfos, you've waited the amount of time, misuda l'suda. Now, this is a very, very funny idea, because this doesn't seem to fit into the pattern of how we started off the sugi. We started off the sugi saying there are certain physical problems here, whether it's tam habasa b'piv, whether it's the basa shebena shenayim. So how in the world is benching? I mean, we're big believers in the keichas of brichas amazon, you know, it's a gevaldige mitzvah, but how in the world is that going to change the tam habasa? You know, how is that going to knock out the basa shebena shenayim? Just because that's the din, the tuchas brachas dictates anu suda, so now the mitzias in the world changes, that's real emunas v'chamim, that's unbelievable. That's like the guy, we spoke about this last year, that's like the guy sitting at the Shabbos table and his wife brings him a cup of tea and she spills it on him and he starts screaming. He says, hi. She says, don't worry, it's a klish lishi. So he says, Baruch Hashem, it doesn't burn anymore. So you have to real emunas v'chamim to say the suda is over, so now my mouth doesn't taste like meat anymore. The suda is over, the basar shebena shenayim. You don't have to go to the dentist anymore. Just bench and everything will be home free. So this is a tremendous chiddush that Tosfos says. What's pshat in this Tosfos? So the chiddush, what Tosfos is driving at, is a concept that we sometimes find in halacha, but we're a little weary to apply it. It sounds almost like a little bit of a lo plug l'kula, because after all, midaraisa, none of this is awesome. Midaraisa, the iser is basar v'cholav, v'sfash v'cholav v'derech b'shalas v'tayra. Midarabonon, they said you can't eat basar v'cholav together, and then they extended it a million times over and said, and you can't even eat. Can't eat it together, even though it's not really together. It's only a tam together, it's only a basash ben shenayim, whatever the different reasons are. So most of the time, misud l'suda means, when I finish one meal, I start the next, but most of the time, I don't start the next meal 20 minutes later. An average person, when he finishes one meal, then he goes back to work, he goes back to the mismedish, and he comes back 3-4 hours later, whatever it is, to eat his next meal, 6 hours later, 10 hours, whatever it is. There's usually a significant amount of time between meals. Every once in a while, there's not. So Tosfos says, you're going to make a halacha, it depends on the clock. That's a crazy thing. You can have people walking around saying, can I eat milk? Can I not eat milk? Am I fleishig? What kind of din is that, says Tosfos? He says, the chacham had to be misaken. They wanted there should be a break between the basar and the gvina. So they wanted to accomplish this idea that there shouldn't be any tam basar left. There shouldn't be any meat left. So you're going to put a number on the clock? All of a sudden, 5 hours and 59 minutes, there's tam basar and 6 hours, all of a sudden, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So chazal on the sakin, as long as it's the next meal already, it's shana hekka already. Everyone will realize that I don't have any real basa left for me. But the whole thing is a chumra, gabi chumra, gabi chumra. So they were misaka. The formulation of the takana was that misuda l'suda. It happens to be that I jumped the gun, that I finished my suda, and then I got hungry 10 minutes late. Good. So you're marviyach. Yeah, you suffer your ice cream. Good. Very good. So as long as you're benching, you're okay. You created whatever hecker is necessary. Because the whole thing is a hecker anyway. The whole thing is derabban. The whole thing is it's a chumra, gabi chumra anyway. So it's like a little bit of a low plug b'kula. That seems to be what Taisus is saying. So the Ram says, L'chayud v'amei, Ram says, Chazal say, Mesud v'suda, what's that to do with Ketz Mevorchim? What's that to do with Bechus HaMazon? He said, this is a different did. This is a reflection of reality. The reality's got to be, the Basa Shebin HaShinayim, it's got to get rid of, Apid Din, it's got to be disappear. So how long do you have to wait? So if Chazal gave you a shir of Mesud v'suda, they meant a certain amount of time on the clock. It's not the Mesud v'suda, according to the Rambam, is not a Siba, it's a Simon. It's a Simon that a certain amount of time has passed. They didn't want to say an hour, a certain amount of time. So they told you, Mesud v'suda, how much is it? So the Rambam says, you have to figure out, when the days of Chazal, when Chazal spoke, when the Abaroim spoke, what did they mean when they said Mesud v'suda? What was their reference point when they said Mesud v'suda? So the Rambam did his Bekiyas to Shas, and took the book of Mar Maseches Pesachim, that tells you what time everybody eats. And the Rabbanim used to eat around Chatzai's time. Everybody ate only 2 meals a day. Nobody ate 3 meals a day. Lunch was made up in the last 200 years. Nobody ate lunch. It was Suda's birthday and Suda's Erev. That's why you eat Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos, to make Shabbos special. You have a third meal on Shabbos. You have a Chiddush, you have a third meal on Shabbos. So regular, you have your breakfast and you have your dinner. So dinner, we know when everybody eats dinner. The first mission in Brachas, first thing in Brachas, as it's Otto getting dark, you eat supper. It's going to be pitch black in the house. You won't be able to see your food. So everyone's eating around the same time at night. Everyone's eating around the same time. And in the, what about the Suda's Boker? What time to eat? It depends what your job is. So if you got to go out to work, so you got to eat at certain times. If you're in the base medrash, you should be learning morning seder. If you come to the end of the morning seder, then you grab a little something to eat. Tashachris, it's still called Tashachris. You have to come early morning seder. You used to daven early in the days of Chazal. Then you start davening, then start slichas on Tzom Gedalia at 10:30 in the morning. So if you start 10:30 in the morning, then you'll be ready for breakfast at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you start in the morning, everything starts early, so then you can learn a little bit, and then you start to eat your late breakfast, early lunch, it's called brunch belies. So they used to eat approximately the beginning of the sixth hour. So that's the Gemara says of Pesachim. Tamid Chacham would eat at the beginning of the sixth hour. So the Rambam did the math. Rambam didn't just know medicine, he knew math also. You add it up from the sixth hour to 12 hours, about 6 hours. So the Rambam says, you see from here, that's what Chazal meant. And they said, when they said you have to wait Mesud v'suda, what they meant was approximately 6 hours. So that's what the Rambam wrote, Kishei Shos. That's exactly why he wrote Kishei Shos. It's not written in stone. He says it's Kishei Shos. It's approximately 6 hours. That's considered to be the Shear. At that point, we can say with certainty, whatever the Basar is ready, it's Basar anymore, and you don't have to worry about it anymore, and everything is fine. So that's the famous sheet, this Rambam, about the Mesud v'suda. So you have a double machlokes Tosfos and Rambam about whether there's any other way to get around docha basa lechol gvina. Can you invoke kinuch v'adocha? Tosfos said that was also an option, and the Rambam disagreed. And then, assuming you're going the route, which according to the Rambam you must go the route of Mesud l'suda that can be solved very simply by benching, or does it mean something much more significant, an X amount of time? So how do we pass in halacha? All these shaylos, a lot of stuff flying around over here. How do we pass in halacha? All these shaylos. So if you open up Shulchan Aruch, not too surprising. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes forbidden the Lashon Rambam. He says not Mesiach, it's the Taisa's benching story. The Shulchan Aruch writes that you have to have Mesud l'suda. And what's Mesud l'suda? Shei Shol is finished. You have to wait 6 hours. Kishei Shol, whatever the Rambam meant with that letter. You have to wait Kishei Shol between the fleshes and milk. That's it. Nothing's going to help. Kinuch Vadoch is not going to help you. And waiting benching is that nothing's going to help you. Then Kum to Ramah and gives you a whole different picture. Comes to Ramah and says, no, in Arab Medinas and Ashkenazi communities were much more makeable about this, says the Ramah. And we basically hold that if you bench and you do Kiruch Vadacha, then you're pretty good. Then you're okay. Well, what does that mean? It seems to be combining a bunch of things. But later, the Ramah was combining a few things. The Ramah said that we're not going to follow the Shittas of Rambam, because the Rambam is a very, very big machmer. The Rambam is being machmer that Kinuch Vadoch is meaningless, because the Rambam learned Kinuch Vadoch is only meaningful by Gvina to Basar. So Rabbi Natan didn't hold like that. And we're not going to combine that together with the Rambam's chumadika version of Mesud l'suda. We are entitled to follow, we're Ashkenazim, we can follow the Balei HaTosfos. So the Rambam was kind of walking a very, very fine line. The Rambam says, you know what? Later, I'm right. It's like a shtibble sveik sveik right here. What's the sveik sveik? If you do kinuch v'adocha and your bench, a few minutes later, you can have your milchiks. Why? Because sveik sveik is probably okay. Number one, maybe kinuch v'adocha itself is good enough. Maybe the Rambam's negating kinuch v'adocha and delegating it only to the realm of gvinat basar is not correct. Maybe Tais, maybe Tam's right. That kinuch v'adocha is good enough, says the Rambam. And even in Timtzum learning that Rabbeinu Tam is not right, but maybe he's still right about his Mesud Lasuda story. So maybe the Rambam's right that you need Mesud Lasuda, but the Rambam's chumatic aversion Mesud Lasuda is maybe a little bit too much. So therefore the Rambam writes that the Iker Adin really is that we Paskin, Ashkenaz and Paskin, if you have a combination of these two factors, you did kinuch v'adocha and you at least you're benched, so then you're probably safe. According to the Rambam it's also, but according to Tosfos, it's mutter for one of two reasons. So we're willing to go out on a limb to be maker like Tosfos when you have both of their factors of cool together. Then the Rambam throws a curveball at us. The Rambam says, and there are many people who have that custom, but somehow that's not enough for them. They throw in for good luck, they wait an hour. An hour, man, where did that come from? An hour is nishra benitam, nishra, there's nobody. There's no mocker in the Gemara, but the idea of waiting, what are you trying to accomplish? If you believe the Rambam's Mesud Lasuda, then you got to wait 6 hours. If you hold Rabbi Natan's water down, Mesud Lasuda, and you're willing to starve it to the Kulach Kinuch V'adocha, so then do Kinuch V'adocha, bench, and enjoy your ice cream, what you have to wait an hour for. So that's what the Bir HaGra writes, that the Rambam had something else in the back of his mind. When he threw in this number of an hour, the hour wasn't the Kula, the hour was a Chumra. It means the real sheet of Saramah, the real sheet of the Midrash Ashkenaz of old, was to be maker on the Sveik Sveika, the Tzir for the 2 days in Tosfos, and just be matre. You don't have to wait anything. But the Ramah didn't want to let people not wait an hour. You know why? The state where? State in the Heilige Zohar says the Zohar HaKadosh that you're not allowed to bless the B'chol of B'chadah Shaita. It happens to say B'chadah Suda. So also, that's a different story, another time, but it says B'chadah Shaita. You can't bless the B'chol of within the same hour of each other. So the Ramah, the Groslim Shah, and the Ramah, he's falling back on that Zohar and saying, even though in the world of Nigla we've solved all the problems, we was Rabbi Natam and Taisus, we have Sula Suda, we're home free of Sveik Sveik, we're good to go. A state in the Zohar, Chada Shaita, we're not going to play with that. And therefore we throw in an hour as a Chumrah. Most people think, oh, those Mekilim, those guys, if we wait an hour, that is the biggest Mekilim and Salzim. They're not the Mekilim, they're the Machmirim. Because the real din here says there are laws, you don't even have to wait an hour as long as you do Kinuch V'adocha plus Bechas Amor. So thus we have on the page of the Shulchan Aruch the two of the minhagim that exist in Klai Yisrael ad hayom hazeh. One is the Shittas Rambam, which is presented by the Shulchan Aruch, the waiting of 6 hours. The other is what's the real Shittas Rambam, the heart of hearts, is that Brichas Hamazon and Kinuch V'adocha alone conquers all the problems. But Liyesus Ace, the Torah, the Zohar, he threw it an hour for good luck. So you have the two extreme Shittas on the page in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam.
It doesn't seem from the Zohar that it makes a distinction between the order of
right,
eating.
Absolutely, right, right. As I said, we're going to come back to the Zohar. The Zohar has much to say about that also. Right. So then, even though the Rambam did such work to defend this age-old Minhag Ashkenaz and being so lenient in Bas B'chalav, then the Rambam throws out the last line. This is the last line? Yeah, you really should be Machmer. You really found the realm. It's too much coolness, fake. Too much lumbus over here. Wait till you get to Kuf Yud, to fake. You should follow the simple prayer, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and even Ashkenazim should probably adopt the minhag of the Rambam 6 hours. So the Rambam is writing it B'taras Chumra. He's not writing in Mikra Din. He seems to hold Mikra Din, the old minhag Ashkenaz, of not waiting at all. It's basically okay. He threw in the hour for good luck, based on the Zohar, like the Gemara said. And then he's making an about-face for Taras Chumra. So the Shach on the spot says, this is not a Taras Chumra. This is correct, says the Shach. He says, there's no question that the correct Pesach Mahaloch is a Shita Saram, a Shita Zamechaber, and anyone who has a what? Reach HaTorah or Ruach HaTorah? What's the Gersa in the Shach? What does it say? Reach, right? It says Reach. I thought it said Reach. Okay. It says Reach HaTorah. I thought somebody, I don't know, once when I saw that, I thought there was a mistake. I thought it was supposed to be Rechater. Rechater is a funny phrase. But whatever it is. Rechater. It smells like that. Whatever it is. Anyone who's a really, really Yerei Shemayim, so he's got to follow the Shittas of Rambam. And that's the Ikra Din, says the Shach. So again, we still have the two plus Shittas on the page. We have the Rambam Shulchan Aruch one extreme. Then we have what the Ramah really, really holds with this Chumrah thrown in an hour. But of course, when you read the entire Shulchan Aruch, and you read the entire Ramah, you read the entire Shach, you read the Taz, you read everyone on the page from top to bottom, you're still, if you come from a certain community in Washington Heights, you're still for somebody else to say something. And you can look from today until tomorrow, you ain't going to find it on the page. Is that where in the world did this idea of waiting 3 hours come from? It's not the Rambam for sure. It's for sure not the Rambam either. Where in the world did this come from? So nobody's quite sure exactly where this came from. At one time, it was attributed to Rabbeinu Yerucham. It did appear, the word Gimel Shalz does appear in Rabbeinu Yerucham, which would be really nice historically, because Rabbeinu Yerucham was a Talmud of the Rosh, who was an Ashkenazi, but it's a Tosaf. That's what it says, Gimel Shalz. It's mamish. If you read the next line, it's wrong. It doesn't say it. So where did this 3 hours come from? So the Achareinim are working. The Sabah Achareinim came up with the idea that maybe it's based on the following. Maybe it's based on the same Gemara. But maybe there was a tradition, some of the German communities, they had, you know, we can't pinpoint the Rishon who said it, but they had a tradition that the Gemara that speaks about Mesuda L'Suda depends on the time and place. It's not an absolute objective Mesuda L'Suda, which, again, according to the Rambam, is very hard. The Rambam obviously doesn't say that, but according to Tosfos' understanding, that Mesuda L'Suda is more of a heker. It's more of a, you know, a low plug lakula type of thing. It's not absolutely, not a rocket science corresponding to anything really, really true to change in your mouth or your teeth. So then this is what the Yaki seem to hold also, that it depends where you live. That in some places, Mesud Lasuda can mean X amount of hours. In other places, it can mean X amount of hours. Sometimes in a year, maybe it means different things, perhaps, depending on what the normal eating patterns are in that particular location. So apparently, some of the Achronim write that there were places in Europe They used to have smaller meals. They didn't have two or three big meals. They had smaller snacks during the course of the day. So they felt that after 3 hours, it was time for the next snack, time for the next crackers and whatever else they're eating. So that was considered to be a ready Mesuda L'Suda. So it's not that they were weren't following the Chlal with the Gemara says Mesuda L'Suda. They were following a new version of Mesuda L'Suda. It's not Rabbeinu Tam, just bench and call it a day. It's not the Rambam that Sheshos. It's time and place, Mesuda L'Suda. If that's the Bir HaDavar, so then L'Ora, that has nothing to do with it, there's no meaning of us in that. It's not shot that, well, I come from a place in Germany and this is what we did for the last 1,000 years, so therefore I continue to do that. It depends where you live. If you live in a place where this is Mesuda L'Suda, let's say in America, that reality doesn't exist anymore. So then one could argue, that's the Bir for the Minhag, so it's very hard for that Minhag to apply in a place where the facts aren't true anymore. So again, I didn't say this to Torah Pesach. I'm still in Washington High School, so I can't what I say. I still have my kids enrolled in, you know, school on the other side. So I'm not being motzi laz in the minhag. I'm just saying that if that's the beer in the minhag, then one would have to seriously reconsider whether that minhag really plays out in a new location. Once, you know, if you're no longer in Frankfurt, so maybe the reality is different. If you hold that it's based on something else, so I'm based on some kind of other lumdus or something, so maybe it would apply.
You can argue that breakfast, between breakfast and lunch now, is usually around 3 hours.
Okay, I mean, maybe we do have a little bit of Mesuda L'Suda, unless you want to argue that breakfast is not really like a meal. It's like Rav Moshe writes in Hilchos Birchas Hananim, by Pasuk of Kisnin. So Rav Moshe writes that you have to mishar what's considered to be the Kadei Suda in that location. So Rav Moshe writes, breakfast in America is not really the meal at Tavua. He said, nobody sits down really to have breakfast. People are running and say, grab a little bite, it's not the Suda. But he thinks that you have to go bustle what's considered to be a real Suda. So maybe that wouldn't qualify. I don't
know.
Like a lunch in Shalshuddas. It depends on the time of year. It's only 1 day a week. Most people, what time do you eat lunch normally? When does guys eat lunch? What time does Shia start? Shia starts at 12:15. One person says, guys eat lunch around between 12 and 12:30. So what time do you eat supper? 6:15, 6:30. No? So it's usually approximate around them, Shia Shalshuddas.
What's that idea of 5 hours, 1 minute?
So we get it. So again, so we're assuming now that we have these different shittas exist. We have the marker for the 6 hours for sure, Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. We have the marker for the 1 hour, which is usually attributed to the people from Amsterdam. The Dutch Jews still have that minhag hayom hazeh. One time I was speaking in my shul, not on Brooklyn Paramus. I was giving a shiur about this. It was a Shabbos, Parshas Vayera, it was a kids' bar mitzvah. And I gave a whole shiur about waiting for 1 hour, why, what the problems of the minhag, going back and forth. And little did I know at the time that the father of this bar mitzvah boy was born in Amsterdam, and all his family were there for the bar mitzvah. They were all from Amsterdam. That was Nachman Leitzanus of the sheep of an hour, and then I get the next for that one. Okay. Anyway, so you gotta be careful. You always know who you're talking to. Anyway, but again, there are more quotes this minute and different minhagim that floating around. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shemar too. I don't want the guys to miss. Guys want that mitzvah. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shemar too will continue with assuming 6 hours as a shiur. What exactly does that mean? Where does these ideas of shortened 6 hours come from, and status in 6 hours, all those kinds of things? Hopefully, Mitzvah Shemar too.